Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father in heaven. Amen. You know, sometimes we may get the feeling that we kind of get the short end of the stick. You know, it's easy to look and see that guy over there and see he's got more than we do. He's got it easier than we do. His life just looks better than my life. You know, but the thing is it's in moments like that that we fail to remember that we live by grace. Not only the very gift of life, but everything we have, everything we are, everything we're given, even our very abilities, even our faith itself, is a gift from God. So we need to remember, we need to understand that we have everything we need because God is taking care of us. We haven't been given the short end of the stick. Instead, we've been given all the gifts we need, and it's simply up to us, well, it's up to us to decide if we're going to live a full life of faith, faith in His graciousness, in His righteousness, or to live a life of fear and doubt. That's kind of what's going on in our text from St. Matthew today. As we look at that text, it starts out. It says, for it will be like, or other translations use the word, again it will be like. This is a continuation. Jesus is giving a series of parables in this one of his final sermons before Good Friday, before he goes to leave his followers, to leave his disciples, and be crucified and ascend into heaven eventually. So what he's doing is he's preparing them for the time that he's going to be away. He's preparing them for the time he's going to be away, and then he's going to come back, and then there's going to be the end of days. So in these series of parables, each one, he talks about the end of times. And this parable right here is sandwiched in between two more. So we take these all kind of together, remembering that it is up to us to be prepared to live by faith and always be ready, trusting in Him for all things. So he starts out, he says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Obviously here, the man on the journey is Jesus. Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to leave you. And you're my servants, you're my people, and I'm going to entrust you what I have. That means the faith that I give you and the responsibility of the proclamation of the word, other followers of Christ. He says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. Okay, this business about the talents. What is a talent? A talent originally meant a weight of measurement about 75 pounds. And generally, that meant 75 pounds of wealth. So a single talent was quite a bit. It would be equivalent to what maybe the average working Joe might make in an entire lifetime. So a talent's a lot of money. Now, this idea of money, when we hear this parable, and I don't know about you, but growing up, I always heard this parable talking about either our gifts that we've been given, like our abilities, our talents, or our faith. And those are good and right interpretations, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But the fact is when Jesus was talking here, he used a word that to the hearers meant money. So if we were to read this in a modern day kind of interpretation, we would say, you know, to one he gave $5 million, to another, you know, $2 million, to another $1 million. We would say dollars there. So why is it we never hear this preached as a stewardship sermon? We don't think about money at all, right? Because we think, well, talents, he's talking about our abilities. He's talking about our gifts. Well, the fact is the word talent wasn't even used to describe our abilities until much later. The word talent used to describe our gifts and abilities actually derived from preachers preaching this text, using talent to refer to our abilities. That's where that word, the English usage of the word talent, comes from, not the other way around. So it is actually good and right to say, yeah, maybe God does care what we do with the gifts, monetary and stuff, that we've been given. Maybe that actually counts. Maybe, just maybe, we should consider all a gift and use it accordingly. Maybe like it's not ours, but like it's His. And that's a good thing. But I would agree with the preachers of old and say that is a secondary meaning of the text, talking about money. The primary meaning of the text, yes, is talking about our other gifts, our abilities, but even more importantly, the gift of faith. That's what he's talking about, because in the other two parables, clearly he's talking about faith. And so we kind of sandwich them together and we get that meaning, letting the text interpret the text. He's talking about utilizing the faith and trusting in Him that we have the faith needed and that He's going to provide everything no matter what the circumstance is. And at that final day, if we trust in Him and use what He's given us, the faith that He's given us and everything else, that it's going to be okay. So He gives these servants massive amounts of wealth. It's not theirs. They have no claim to it. It's His. But He says, while I'm gone, I'm going to entrust it to you. And here's what happens. Verse 16, it continues. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. And he made 5 more talents. So also he had received the 2 talents, made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. It's easy to be judgmental. You know, we can talk about the guy who has a whole bunch. Well, of course he had $5 million. He could afford to have some risk, right? If he lost $1 million, no problem. He still had $4 million left. That guy over there, living in the big house, driving the $60,000 automobile, gets to play 27 holes of golf every Saturday morning, all that stuff. Well, he can afford to lose a little bit. So, yeah, that's why he can take those risks and he can make the big bucks, because he can afford to lose something. I really can't afford to put anything on the line because I don't have anything. God didn't trust me with enough for me to risk anything. And I certainly can't use it in ways that I know is not going to give me a return on investment. That's why I don't give to charities or this, that, and the other. But the problem here, all of this is entrusted to the servants as a gift for a reason. It's not entrusted to just bury it in the ground. You know, the master could have just buried it in the ground if that's all he wanted from it. But instead, he entrusted it to them to take care of, to tend, to use, to grow. And so the guy with the 1 talent, he had everything he needed to utilize it, to invest it, to do more with it, rather than just sit on his tail end, as my dad would have said. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So in other words, Jesus is coming back. We're in the time right now where the master's gone and we've been entrusted the talents. But he is coming back. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. You notice the servant doesn't hold anything back for himself. He recognizes it's all the master's. All 3 of the servants recognize that. So he says, here's the 10 talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't say, well done, good and judicious, good and fearful, good and prudent. He said, good and faithful servant. The servant had been faithful with what God had given him, with what the master had given him. He'd done well with it. He'd invested it. He'd utilized it. Everybody here remember that old song? I'm going to take this little light of mine. I'm going to let it. Not going to bury it under a bushel. Oh, no. I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, this first servant, that's what he did, man. He was singing that song, strong and proud. And Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. His faith had proven true. And the master, Jesus, at the second coming, gives him his reward. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. You get to go to heaven because you trusted in me. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, and here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. You notice here, Jesus didn't say to the first servant, great man, you've done wonderful. And then to the second servant, well, you did okay. You didn't do quite as good as this other guy, but you did okay. No. Even though the other one comes, one comes back with $10 million. And the other comes back with $4 million. You notice his words are the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. I have set you, you have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So it's not about quantity. It's not about, okay, well, at the end, I'm going to look at the ledger book and see what I've got, either cash, stuff, or even people that I've helped, or faith that I have, or people I've shared the gospel with. It's not about quantity. It is simply about utilizing what God has entrusted to you and made it be fruitful for what it is. Verse 24. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. By the way, this servant is correct. And Jesus even verifies this in a moment. He is a hard master. He does reap where he doesn't sow. Why? Because he gives things to his servants to reap for him, to sow for him. It's true. God does let us share in the mission. Glory be to God. Wonderful. But this shouldn't scare us. It should be a joy to us. But to some, it's a terrifying thing. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what's yours. He didn't lose it. He didn't squander it. He didn't misinvest it. He didn't spend it on stuff that was wrong. He gave him back exactly what he'd been given. He took the $1 million and he gave him back $1 million. By all accounts, he did exactly what he needed to do, right? He didn't lose any of it. But the problem was he didn't utilize any of it. He didn't trust that God would take care of him, that the master would take care of him. So the idea is that even when he's worried about preserving the nugget, preserving whatever had been given to him, instead of trusting in God to take care of it, then in the end, that's not enough. So what if he had invested the $1 million and lost it? What if he had taken the gifts that had been given him and been an utter failure in life? What if he had gone out there with his faith and shared the gospel with his neighbor, and every single time he shared the word of Christ, he got the door slammed in his face, and he never successfully shared Christ with anybody? Would this get him judgment? Should he have been worried about fear of failure? Would God have cast him out for losing the talent? No. Instead, the judgment was on not utilizing the talent. Verse 26, but his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest." In other words, you should have done at least something with it. At least the bare minimum. Even if not going above and beyond, just the basic stuff. So for, you know, to the faith analogy and sharing the gospel, live the life that I've called you to live. Just witness to the people that I put in front of your face. At the bare minimum. Verse 28. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given, will more be given. And to he who have, and he will have an abundance. Let me start that again. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I'll be honest, I thought this verse was so unfair when I was a kid. Boy, that's saying Jesus just loves rich people, right? If you've got more, you're going to get more. If you're on the short end of the stick, you're going to keep the short end of the stick. Let me read this again with the word faith in there. And see how drastically it changes the sound. For to everyone who has faith, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has no faith, even what he has will be taken away. Well, that opens your eyes, doesn't it? That is the key to the parable. To he who has faith, not this much or this much, but to he who has faith, it's not about quantity. As you've heard me say before, faith is not about the quantity or even the quality. Because who is the giver of our faith? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the author and giver of our faith. The only important thing about our faith is the target. If our faith is in Jesus, if our faith is aimed at Jesus, then it's good faith, whether it be a little mustard seed or whether it be the size of Mount Everest. If our little shaky faith or our huge, strong, shining faith is in Jesus, it is enough. God will make it enough. But if I have no faith in Jesus, everything else I have doesn't matter. If I have no faith in Jesus, whatever faith I have in my own abilities, in my wallet, in my government, in my fellow man, it's not going to save me in the end. I'm going to lose all because I didn't have any faith in Jesus. Verse 30, and he cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, and that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's kind of difficult to say, here's the gospel of the Lord after that phrase. But the fact is it is a gospel message, because the gifts that are given are all given by grace. It is grace alone. The fact is we need grace. Each and every one of us is broken and fallen and sinful. We can't do it on our own. We can't believe in Jesus on our own. We certainly can't make it in this world on our own. We can't make it till tomorrow on our own. We're broken. We need God's grace. We need His love. Praise be to God, He gives it. He gives to each according to their need. God provides you with everything you need. It's up to you to utilize it with faith, joy, and judgment. It's up to you to decide whether you're going to live a life full of having His faith and His graciousness, or to live a life of fear and doubt. God gives you all the talent, all the faith you need. What are you going to do with it? Amen.